Okay. Hi, everyone. Siobhan Sarna here with Stephen Wright with another exciting episode of where we're going to help you figure out what you can eat, how you can eat it, how to rewire your body to actually be able to tolerate foods and those dreaded, infamous elimination diets, friend or foe. And we just have a couple of rules. Be nice or be gone. Please put your questions in the Q&A box. And if you have any technical issues, reserve that for chat. So that being said, Clarissa's in the background helping you with any tech issues in chat. We do have some specials for you, along with the announcement that Stephen has very temporarily reopened the Leaky Gut course that he created at my request. We'll talk about that later if you're interested. The reviews are in and freaking fantastic, and doctors are doing the protocols in their offices and doing like studies on them and stuff. Very exciting. Stephen is a trained engineer. He was one of the very first people I ever found online to help me with my gut issues back in 2015. And he's been helping people ever since. And never wanted to create supplements because it's a pain in the booty. Trust me, coming from my retail background and manufacturing and TV shopping background, I know what's involved with the stringent requirements. And also Stephen is extremely selective. You think I'm picky? And he's here today to talk about those things and get everyone some help. Most importantly, get you some help. Hi.
Hey there. We're talking about a scary topic today. You know, diet is more sacred than religion these days.
It is a heated debate, very triggering for a lot of people, and I understand why. It's very emotional, super emotional, Stephen. Tell us about, for those people who are new, briefly about your how you got yourself into this and how you got yourself out of it.
I mean, I didn't really have a choice. I had some digestive issues from birth and throughout my early years, and I think once I was, my job was being threatened. That's when I sought help. I was bloating so bad that I was crying, and, my job was being threatened because I was farting in the office too much. And needless to say, I went to Western medicine, and while they've helped me many times over the years, they're not all bad. They did not help at all with my digestive issues. And that's one area that they really struggle with. Of course, everybody knows that they're here. So, that sent me on a journey that included dietary changes first and then supplements very quickly. And immediately I saw like 50% better experience. And I became a diet convert, an elimination diet. Like that was my thing, sort of reversing the specific carbohydrate diet. In fact, we built an entire company where we taught people how to do the elimination diet and the specific carbohydrate diet at the same time. And I was essentially, you know, all about nutrition and trying to help people with that because it was so helpful for me. And that is how I realized that, number one, I've tried around 40 or 50 diets myself personally, just because I have to, because people ask me questions and they want to know thoughts. And I'm just curious. That's part of my issue, superpower and kryptonite. But the truth is that diet's not going to heal any of this stuff. But it can harm it. And I think that's what nobody wants to talk about, is that there's limited power in food, and we all need to wake up and, you know, just have an adult discussion about it.
Right. So Stephen sometimes is embraced as well as criticized for having a lot of tough love, but I find it extremely refreshing, especially when I start to feel sorry for myself. He's like, snap out of it. You can do this. And I think it's also, of course, diet is important in terms of nutrition and helping ourselves, but that's not what we're talking about. We're talking about when you have gut issues that are constipation, diarrhea, alternating constipation, diarrhea, bloating, you know, all the gas that he was talking about. The food is not going to cure the underlying cause. And that's where we need support, Stephen, because we're hungry.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's where people need to have a nuanced view here. What I'm saying essentially is the same thing. Like when you break a bone, you have to immobilize the bone so it can heal. You have to put on a cast for a little while. It gets you out of pain. It sets up the healing process. But if you stay in that cast too long, guess what? Your rehab is going to be 10 times harder. You're going to have to pay out of pocket to go to specialists because you immobilized your joints for too long. Like they're no longer prescribing rest, ice elevation techniques for athletes anymore because they realize that the immobilization of an ankle sprain is the wrong way to do it. And so that's my message. That's the take home point on these elimination diets. And I'm including everything that's an elimination diet. That's SIBO diets, that's Seebecker's diet, that's low FODMAP diet, that's SED, GAPS, paleo. We can talk about and we can debate the merits of food and how to rank them, because I don't believe in good and bad either. I think we should be adults about that as well. But the point is, there's a time period in which they're extremely helpful. They help me. They help millions of people. And if we don't push into the pain, just like rehab is not comfortable, it's painful, it sucks. You have to push into more and more expansion of your diet. Otherwise, the downside is you will continually eliminate foods. You'll be searching for the next food cure. And in the process over several years, you'll end up on a very restricted diet, which kills your microbiome. It contributes to vitamin and mineral nutritional issues. And you basically set yourself up for a harder journey back once you kind of realize that that path is maybe a false prophet.
Just because Allison's not here, I will mention this is that she should be the first person to say these, at least her SIBO specific food guide manages symptoms. It does not deal with the underlying cause. That is not going to reduce your bacterial overload for that particular scenario. So, and always everyone here at SIBO SOS and Chronic Condition Rescue, we are trying to get you to expand your diet. So that's really one of the major points of today. Stephen, when it comes to the mindset around food, that is so loaded with social and media messaging, what is some advice you have for us? And then let's talk about how to get started eating more foods, like solutions.
I mean, the advice is this: if food was the cure, there we'd already know that, right? Instead, what we get is different takes on food, different diets every 3 to 5 years. If you've been around for 14 or 15 years, like I have, and there's people like Dr. Seebecker who've been around even longer than me, you've seen these phases. Like low histamine and low salicylates was like a huge deal in 2010. Now it's back again. So these things go in phases. And so the first step is just to be honest and open that that's what's happening here. I think that's step one, just accepting what is. Step two is accepting the fact that food has power. It can cause you diarrhea. It can cause you bloating. It can cause you tachycardia. It can cause all these types of things. And so I'm not saying, you know, if you have tachycardia, eat a bunch of the chocolate or whatever that causes that for you. I'm not encouraging,
of course,
idiocy.
Right. Yeah.
But what I'm saying is then after that layer is the next step is like our bodies are amazing. Like we feed them everything from McDonald's to dirt to raw stuff that's kind of crazy and full of microbes. And it like processes all of that down and we extract the nutrients and it gives us all this stuff. And then we put it in the toilet, and we flush it. And like, that's amazing. If you know, our car, you can't even put diesel in a gas engine without it blowing up and vice versa. Like our machines are so fragile compared to our body. Our body is so powerful. And so to move forward with the food conversation, I think is to begin to embrace the fact that real food matters, locally sourced matters. There are things that are more toxic than other, like farm fish and seed oils and all the stuff that you've read about. But once we get past that little list, and once we're talking about whole foods, real foods, not processed foods, those foods have been, I don't care, whatever your religion is, thousands and thousands of years for every religion have sustained us, and they will continue to. And so if you're currently reacting to this group of real foods, like if you do a food sensitivity test or you do some sort of inflammation, leaky gut test, and you're seeing reactions to normal foods, starches, nuts, meats, fruits, vegetables, even non-gluten grains, corn, things like this, that's like a sign of an underlying issue in your health. That will not be solved by just eliminating the food. It won't go away on its own. And that is part of whatever else is happening for you. So if you have rheumatoid arthritis, if you have brain issues, hormone issues, gut issues, that little nugget of information that you can't handle strawberries is a key to fixing the other thing. And just reducing that that exposure is not going to fix it. But we can use that information to heal and allow you to eat these foods again, and then hopefully go on to healing whatever the other issues is that you're dealing with.
So what, I'm going to focus on problem one more second. What root causes are causing the food sensitivities, like overgrowth of bacteria, overgrowth of fungus, leaky gut, lack of enzymes? What are some other things that we could be thinking about? Slow motility, overly fast motility. What are some other things?
Too much oxygen in your gut. If you have high oxygen in your gut, you're not going to be able to create a diverse and well-balanced microbiome. So you need a low oxygen gut. You need proper enzyme function in your gut. You need proper stomach acid function. Right. You need proper immune system regulation. Your gut immune system should not react to pollen. It shouldn't go nuts every hay fever season. It shouldn't go nuts around fabric softeners or foods or whatever. That is a sign that your GALT, your gut associated lymphoid tissue, and all the special processes that are going on in there is imbalanced one way or the other, or too reactive. There's other causes around your nervous system, frankly. If you're hypervigilant and your nervous system is overreactive, then that is going to be a root cause for your sensitivities to the world. Right. If you have really, not even really low, but if you just have jacked up hormones, if you're in perimenopause or menopause, if you're a male who is high estrogen, low testosterone due to the toxins in the world, that's kind of like the center of the root causes. Gut, nervous system, and hormones.
Gut, nervous system, and hormones. Yep, got it.
If you have those three working, I don't care if you come in contact with mold, you won't be bothered. You won't be bothered by EBV. You won't be bothered by H. pylori. You won't be bothered by SIBO. You will clear those things. You will handle those things. All the other root causes that we can get really hyper-fixated on will be cleared and handled if your gut, nervous system, and hormones are working properly. That's my belief and theory after spending $400K on my own self, working with Shay through cancer, just going to the ends of the world on suicide for family members. Those three things have to be working. And when you lose those three things, then everything spiders out. And that's when you get those root causes of SIBO, those are the macro, and then the micro root causes inside each system happen, such as hypervigilance in the nervous system or say SIBO in the gut.
That makes sense. Okay. And then when we're talking about, let me just talk about the ways to rewire your body to tolerate food again. So those are all the problems. Let's talk about how we can eat a meal and not have it be massive triggering event and cascade. Have a sip of water because this is going to be big.
So let's say you believe me and you're like, I would love to, you know, eat more food starting with my next meal. A first step for your hormones and your nervous system at your next meal is to like sniff that meal. You got to sensory experience it. I used to tell people to pray or do gratitude, but that doesn't do anything for anybody. So now what I want you to do is just smell that, really touch it, feel it, because what that is doing is about, well, number one, it's going to help you taste your meal better, but our smell activates all the hormones for gastric acid release. It's for bile, for stomach acid, for everything. It starts with the smell. And also if you're Dr. Andrew Humerman is a really cool podcaster, and his top technique for if you're anxious or having a panic attack or just overly can't slow yourself down is a double inhale or a triple inhale. So like that through the nose. So if that's like a quick way to like snap your nervous system into parasympathetic. So do some nose inhalations, really get into that plate of food or that protein shake or whatever it is. You know, I don't care. That's going to help you with your nervous system and your hormones to begin with. Then there's a couple things that have to happen, right? You have to have your stomach acid there. So if your stomach acid's not there, you need to do an HCL challenge. You need to grab some acid from the cupboard, grab some, I can't think of the name right now.
Apple cider vinegar.
Yes. Apple cider vinegar. Try that. Those things are quick tests to see. Not everybody has low stomach acid, but for the people who do have it, it's a really big deal. And it's going to always make everything from food harder to digest. And it's going to increase your food sensitivities. There's studies on mice now that literally show that verbatim. So low stomach acid is a contribution to contributing factor to food sensitivities. And then the next thing after that is your enzymes. Do you have the right enzymes in your mouth? You know, one of the reasons why people say chew your food and slow down is because there's amylase in your mouth. And if you just do 5 bites and swallow, you didn't give the amylase time to release and attach to the food in your mouth. That's one of the things that can go wrong. And then of course, inside of your small intestine, if you have SIBO, SIFO, any sort of gut infection in there, you're going to have damage. Or let's say you do have inflammation due to gluten or non-gluten celiac sensitivity. The literal gold standard for a celiac is a biopsy where the villi are crushed down and flattened. The villi are what release the brush border enzymes. So one of the reasons why malnourishment is a hallmark of celiac disease is because you don't have the enzymes to break the food down to get it into your body. It's not necessarily just about the gluten. It's about the loss of enzyme function. So we got to have those enzymes. And then, like I said, you need to have this sort of immune system interaction that's kosher. Hopefully everything's okay.
I'll be right back.
Okay. So that would be kind of the steps for going through digesting food and getting into the body. We have to be able to open up our nervous system, our hormones, let it know what's coming. We have to break the food down from big pieces to little pieces. The acid has to liquefy it a little bit more. So the enzymes have to open it up, crack it apart. You have to pull it into your body. That steals food from other infections. It minimizes SIBO, SIFO, all these other things, all the toxins downstream, because you've actually broken apart the food and you're uptaking it. And then that will hopefully relax the immune system once it's getting there. And so I say all this because what I would encourage people to do, one of the ways to eat more foods is to know. One of the reasons why elimination diet is amazing, because it tells you what food you're reactive to. So what that would do then is allow you to take an enzyme that helps with that food. So should you find out that you're actually reactive to FODMAPs, you know, and probably not all FODMAPs, but maybe just some of the FODMAPs, I'm not sure, but you could use an elimination diet to find out, hey, it's carbohydrates, which are for gas and bloating and a lot of the IBS complaints, a lot of it's carbohydrates related and the foods in that area, which does include your grains, your pseudo grains, as well as your vegetables and starches and things like that. So you could take an enzyme product specifically designed for the food group of which you've eliminated. And when you try to re-add it, you have an issue with. I saw someone in the comments, one of the first questions was about low histamine diet. Histamine reactivity is difficult. It's a difficult one to work through and heal from, but it's not impossible and it's very doable. But it does take trial and error to get there. And there's a DAO enzyme that literally, whether or not you have the genetic criteria for low DAO function, DAO is the enzyme that breaks down histamine. You can take it before your meal and basically prime the food to try to break that down. And then you could take enzymes with your food that also just optimize digestion, because you know with a histamine experience that you're more likely to produce histamines to any type of food group. It's not just low histamine foods. Like, people produce histamines to the pollen, to everything in the house. And so you could use DAO as well as another enzyme product to just basically give your body optimal digestion during that phase. That's kind of step one in the process, which is change the way your body's interacting with the food through the use of exogenous stomach acid support and enzyme support.
Okay. Hello, Petunia's back.
Petunia's back. Did she run away?
No.
Okay.
She's just running the place. Okay, I'm going to switch things up a little bit. How can ACV, apple cider vinegar, be used to find out if you have enough stomach acid?
Basically, if you take it with a meal and you feel better, that's a pretty good indication that you need more acid at your meals. The problem with using ACV long-term for low stomach acid is you never really retrain your body to get to the right pH. ACV is about 2.4 on the pH scale. You need your stomach acid to drop down to 1.0 to 1.5-ish. And so replacement acid is likely the only way to kind of retrain that long-term.
Regarding HCL supplementation, is it okay to get the kind without pepsin? I'm a vegetarian. Most of them have pepsin added.
It's not ideal for human health, but yes, you can. And actually the brand that I recommend for people who are vegans and vegetarians is the Now brand. They have just a regular protease. There is no actual pepsin that's like perfect replacement for pepsin yet. We've never discussed, or we never built it. So there's no perfect one-to-one, but the best brand would be Now.
Okay. And you have let's talk about your HCL real quick.
So our HCL is the only HCL with intrinsic factor. Intrinsic factor is the bouncer for B12. So if you have low B12, if you have fatigue, proniscus anemia, things like that, likely you'll also find you have low intrinsic factor. And so people who struggle to get their cellular B12 levels up have been really helped by taking our product with intrinsic factor. So that's number one. And then number two, you talked about like a hallmark of essentially all digestive issues is motility, whether it's too fast or too slow. And so there's human studies with ginger. Organic ginger is what's in our product, but it was just regular ginger that they use in the stomach. And it produced a stronger contraction, a motile contraction out of the bottom of the stomach in humans. And so we put a bunch of ginger in our product, which is different than other HCLs. And then we included DGL, which is cool because it helps heal a mucus lining that might be upset due to stress, life, low stomach acid. It's also helpful for those with histamine intolerance. It's a antihistamine in a way, it's a histamine. It's a mast cell stabilizer.
Okay. And is there an enzyme, as we switch from HCL to enzymes, is there an enzyme to help fructan intolerance?
So there are FODMATE, FODMATE from Microbiome Labs is the best FODMAP specific enzyme at the moment. There's another company called FODZYME, FODZYME. I don't like that product as much. It doesn't include the other FODMAP specific enzymes at a high enough quantity. So I don't see as good as results with people. So that's the best we have at the moment for fructans. And there's also, if you have fructose intolerance, some people have fructose intolerance. There's an enzyme, xylomase. I'll have to look it up, but there's a fructose intolerance enzyme. I mentioned DAO. If you have a histamine issue, that's right. A DAO enzyme. And then of course we have holozyme, which I think is the best one for food sensitivities that are not the ones I just mentioned.
So talk to us about holozyme. And then I want to ask you about tributyrin X.
So
why did you make a digestive enzyme formulation?
Because personally, I was taking about $200 a month worth of enzymes. I was having to take two of the top brands and take them because they included different enzymes at different concentrations from different sources. And the only way that I could get my clients, this predates when my stuff came back with Shay's cancer diagnosis and everything. In clinic back in 2013, 2014, when we had a telehealth clinic and I was consulting, and then we had actual doctors with us who were seeing people, we would end up putting people on $150 to $200 a month worth of digestive enzymes because we couldn't figure out the right combo of enzymes, because the top brands you might think of that start with T's and DGs and things like that just weren't working. So we would tell people take two of two different brands And sometimes that would work and sometimes it wouldn't. And so when my flare came up back in 2019, this resurfaced as like an aggravating issue. Number one, I don't like paying $200 a month, just for digesting my food. But number two, I was just like pissed because this is like one of these fundamental things. Like, why is this not solved? And luckily I found a scientist who had solved it. But nobody was like literally taking him seriously, even though he had done 6 pilot trials to prove it. He got a patent on it. And essentially what it is like an enzyme without its cofactors and like an enzyme without a friend. It's kind of mopey. It's kind of sad. It doesn't like life. It doesn't do a good job of being in life. But if you have an enzyme with its mineral cofactor, it's got a friend. They're together. They're happier. They're much more active. And they're going to go about life in a much more excited way. And that's essentially what makes Holozyme different, is that we've licensed this patent and then I've souped it up to be for those of us with food intolerances.
Okay. And by the way, guys, we have 15. What's this? Clarissa, is it 15% off or is it the $15 off offer that we're doing? Do you remember, Stephen?
It's $15 off for the products and free shipping. The course is $100 off.
Okay. So we do have the course on, so Clarissa, it's $15 off the cart. So just to clarify that and the little links you put in the chat, thank you. Cause I know we have some old ones there. So it's $15 off your cart. If you want to go shopping with Stephen's products at, this is Clarissa. I see what you're doing. There's the course for leaky gut from Stephen, and we do have the biggest discount on that. If you guys are interested, we're going to talk about Tributarin X in a second, but then just strictly for the healthy gut, Clarissa, if you could repost the coupon there, it is $15 off of your cart and free shipping in the US. Okay. Remember, these are the formulations he couldn't find for himself, so he created them. I've known him for a long time. You are in good hands with Stephen. He also has an amazing Facebook group. And what makes your Facebook group so special, Stephen? Guys, if you've purchased products from him before, or you're about to, you can go into that Facebook group and get support as well as from his nutritionists that are on staff there.
I mean, that's what makes it special, is that we have 4 health coaches on staff who are in there. We try to answer every single post. One of us does. Sometimes I'm in there less these days because we're growing and I'm on a lot of shows and it's a little harder for me to spend a lot of time on Facebook. But yeah, that's what makes it special, is that we have trained health coaches and that we respond to everything. Whether or not sometimes we don't know the answer, but we try to give you some links to help you. It's not just about our products. It's not just about gut health. It's about everything related to healing the gut or healing the body.
Cool. And a little bit of tough love or gentle love, depending on what you need. The other thing, Stephen, is it's time to talk about Tributarin X. So this is the molecule that I know really got you excited and has helped so many people with their leaky gut and just really heal, also supporting their efforts to help with LPS, lipopolysaccharides. So tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so one underlying cause of gut dysfunction that is not helped by almost any other product on the market is when you have a highly oxygenated gut. And I don't even mean highly oxygenated. I mean just slightly above the level that good microbes can grow. If you look up the definition of most of the good microbes that you want inside of your gut, they're called anaerobic bacteria, meaning without oxygen is how they survive. It's like if we put ourselves on Mars, we cannot exist on Mars without a bunch of equipment to stay alive because of there's a lot of reasons, but oxygen is one of them. The same is true inside of your gut. There's not a lot of products out there that can directly lower the oxygen content. And Tributarin X has not been studied yet, we're going to get to that here in the next few years to basically prove this. But one thing that we do know is that a high oxygen gut is a low butyrate environment. So butyrate is what your colonic cells want to run their metabolism on. And then part of that metabolism is like vacuuming, sucking oxygen out of your gut in order to create this metabolism of butyrate and oxygen. And so So a low butyrate gut, which is typically a dysbiotic gut, low butyrate is a low short chain fatty acid gut. So if you have prebiotics and probiotics that are touting the increase in short chain fatty acids, that's a really good thing to pay attention to. Like that's like the future, I think, of gut healing. I mean, there's going to be a lot of futures, but one of the biggest things is boosting butyrate production and lowering oxygen concentration. And it just turns out that tributyrin, in my opinion, is the superior molecule and superior technology to doing this. And basically just restarting the entire gut so that everything else you're doing, like, let's say you're already trying to add back foods. Let's say you're already working on your histamine levels. Let's say you're working on your immune system using other products. You're working on your bile systems. All those things can be completely enhanced with a butyrate replacement product like Tributyrin X. And I've seen it. Like, you can read the comments. Like, there's close to 400 reviews on our website, and you can just read through them. And I bet you'll find someone close to your complexity levels. And if not, just email us. We're happy to have a chat to see if it's a right fit for you. But the goal with Tributyrin X is to replace that butyrate, restart the oxygen metabolism, lower the oxygen levels, calm down. So butyrate ends up calming down mast cells. Butyrate ends up healing the it expresses tight junctions better. So it helps the tight junctions. It helps with mucus generation for the mucosal layer. So leaky gut is no longer about tight junctions. Tight junctions are like saying, you know, your house is falling down and it's the wall's fault, not the fact that you don't have a roof and a foundation. Like, tight junctions are just one part of the leaky gut story. There's five layers to a non-leaky gut, and tight junctions are just one part of the physical layer. And so the cool thing about butyrate is there's research connecting butyrate to every layer, and tributyrin is going to help with all those layers. It's going to be literally an add-on product to everything else you're trying that will likely be part of the solution. At least that's what we're finding for most people.
Cool. How do you know if you have high oxygen in your gut? Is there a way to test?
There's no oxygen test. I don't know if there ever will be one, but what you're looking for is a signature of your microbiome. Do you have low butyrate, low acetate, low propionate? Do you have a dysbiotic microbiome? And then do you have pathogenic bacteria growing inside of you that are aerobic in nature? That would tell you your oxygen concentration.
Okay. And what could cause the high oxygen in the gut?
Elimination diets, antibiotics.
Okay.
You're basically killing off your butyrate production. Stress is part of it. Sure. Anything that disrupts natural digestion, which ends with you probably reducing foods because you're like, hey, when I eat this, I get diarrhea. I don't want diarrhea, which is natural. That's what I did. Right. But in general, FODMAPs are like the most amazing butyrate production foods. And a lot of people are saying like, hey, stay low FODMAP forever.
No, don't do that. Okay. I have multiple food sensitivities with daily diarrhea. Should I be having enzymes and tributyrin X each time I eat, like with snacks? Hey, Gemma.
I mean, I don't know personally, but that's a really good idea. That's a great plan to test. I think the other thing that separates healthy gut and my views from everybody else's, and I don't know if they just don't talk about it. Like, I might share these views with a lot of other folks and they just don't talk about it because it's complex and annoying. But the annoying truth is that some people need one tributyrin X per day and some people need six tributyrin X per day, because individualized supplementation, just like individualized testing, is really important. And so for diarrhea, Lusol's Tributyrin X is super amazing as part of a protocol, and it might be the missing piece. And it is in a lot of cases that we see for our customers, but you have to find the dosage that's right for you. We give you guides on how to titrate up to start with one every few days and then, you know, kind of increase it as you go. That's also why we have the health coaches on the team. But yeah, for butyrate, Tributyrin X and holozymes is a great starting spot. It might not be the only thing though.
Lena, I've had two types of butyrate by Apex Energetics and Body Bio, and they flare my GI symptoms. Why would that be? Have not tried yours. Lena is also very, very sensitive. Hi, Lena.
I mean, flare your symptoms is like, I can't work with that. I need like specifics. So, but what I will say is that those products, the Body Bio is a sodium butyrate. So that's one type, or it's a CalMag butyrate. That's a different type. The Apex one, I believe, is a mixture of acetate, propaninate, and butyrate. So that's a, it's another type of supplement. Ours is a straight tributyrate. This might sound like, dude, you're just trying to sell your product, but I am telling you, the devil is in the details for supplements. One person might be helped by the sodium butyrate, and sodium butyrate's not a bad product. Some people might be helped by the Apex product. It's not a bad product. The products that we choose and the way that we develop stuff is to work for the least or the most sensitive people. We're trying to help those people first, because I know then it'll work for the people who are mild cases. And so tributyrin, in my opinion, is just a superior molecule to the rest of those products, which is why we developed with it. The same thing is true with curcumin. Like, I know there's new research on curcumin and SIBO and pain. If you try it, you don't see results, it could be the form of curcumin that that supplement company put in there. And you might need to double the dosage or switch to a different brand that has a different type of curcumin. So the only way that I could say it would help you is if you try it. But it sounds like you're super sensitive. So please email us first and we'll let you know if you should support your nervous system first or if you should try Tributor next first.
Okay. And what's the return policy, Stephen?
60 days.
60 days. Okay, fantastic. That's also really unusual, guys. Bloating is one of Lana's symptoms. I also know she gets constipated every time you get bloated. Yeah, this is a lot of what we see every day. For curcumin, whatever, you know what I'm trying to say. The black pepper is really tricky for people with gut issues. Faith, I'm glad that it worked for you. It is known to be helpful with that, but if you have intestinal issues, a lot of times it can be irritating.
Yeah.
I just wanted to mention that. Okay. Sun butyrate from Pure is great. Your experience. I mean, do you have any comment on that?
I mean, at least it's tributyrin. It's a liposomal form. So again, it's not the same as our form. If it doesn't work for you, I bet our form will. Yeah. We use it for kids who can't swallow.
Okay. Davey, no, you should not stop Elemental Heal as a meal replacement several times a day. It would be totally different if you want to take Steven's course on leaky gut. If that's working for you right now to help calm things down, cool. Just remember, make sure you're getting enough calories. And I don't know how long you're doing it for, Davey. So you don't want to do it for too long because you want to get some fiber back in there. But I remember you were trying that. So I hope it's working for you. And I'm taking it with the way you just said it, that you're also eating table food too, which is great. Sandy is saying, I'm presently taking your three products, Holozyme, Holoimmune, and Tributyrin. I am feeling better. How do I know when to discontinue? When is the best to do to stay healthy? Will I need to take these again, or does it heal the gut?
So
depends on you, but go ahead.
Yeah, it totally depends on the situation. Like if your nervous system is not ideal, if your hormones are not ideal, you're going to need gut supplementation for longer, right? But you don't want to just stop gut supplementation while you pivot and focus on hormones or nervous system. You want to use them together because they'll each build layers of resiliency. So I can't answer, is it, you know, 60 days, 120 days, 2 years? I don't know the answer for you. And you might be able to drop off of certain products. So you might get down to just Holozymes after a few months. The only way you'll know is by basically changing the dosages and playing with it. But yeah, in general, what I would say is that the part of the protocol for leaky gut, in my opinion, is those three products. And Holoimmune essentially is like taking your immune system to therapy and the gym at the same time. It's like we're trying to balance it. We're trying to work through its issues and make it stronger at the same time and better able to respond to the world. And so if you give up Holoimmune in 60 days, I do think that's slightly soon for solidifying immune system retraining.
And Lauren, how do you support your nervous system? I already meditate, great, journal, and I'm grateful for everything, but I'm always in fight or flight. I've got a question for you. Childhood trauma, adult trauma, have you been bullied? How's your job? How's your commute? How's your sleep? there are a lot of other things that can be impacting that. Are you consuming alcohol? Like, what else is going on with you? I'll just say, a lot of times, I'll speak for myself, when I've had a series of time when I've been in that fight or flight constantly, and I feel, I meditate as well, I'm grateful for everything as well, I journal as well, I go for walks in the woods whenever I can, or go to the beach and watch the sunset or whatever, I have had so many massive blind spots in my life of things that I didn't think were bothering me. And then once I pulled out of it for whatever reason, or had someone shine a light on it, I was like, oh my gosh, how was I tolerating that? Like, that was what was driving a lot of fight or flight behavior, you know, experiences for me. So I would just also say, get some flashlights out and really look in the nooks and crannies. And what do you find yourself repeating a lot about in terms of stressors, and see if that's maybe something, even though you think it can't be resolved, could it? So that's my advice for you on that. Go ahead, Stephen.
Yeah. And I'll say that there is a, like, if you peel back the layers, and if you go as deep and as annoyingly complex as I do, which I get that I overcomplicate it all, but that's truly the answer, is it depends. You will realize that the nervous system not only can be impacted by your gratitude practices and your capacity to look in these corners and do the therapy, but it also has an actual electrical, like, part of it. It has a sensing part of it, and it has an unconscious part of it that you can't influence, really. Like, you can mantra all day, you can pray all day, you can gratitude all day. You're not going to do nothing, because you just wake up every day triggered or sympathetic. And so if that's you, which that was me, I would stop playing around and get going, minimum 10 breath work sessions, conscious breath work, holotropic breath work, do 10 float sessions in a month, get into an IM ketamine clinic, do some before and after stuff. Like, if you're already doing therapy, gratitude, walking, sunlight, that's amazing. But the next step is real therapy, internal family system, somatic experiencing. And the step after that, which you can do in tandem, you don't have to wait, is things like, you know, breath work, float tanks, and I think psychedelic experiences with integration.
And what does the word integration mean to you?
You're working with a therapist before and after for multiple sessions, because it is really easy, speaking from experience, to think that you figured it out.
Yeah. Okay, Diana, don't hold on to the phone if it's hurting your neck. We'll see you next time, and we'll send you the replay. Fonda, I take 2 milligrams liquid iodine/kelp and a liquid 1 ml holmic fulvic supplement daily, along with Similase BV or FODMAPE enzymes. Looks like Holozyme could replace all of these.
I wish I could say yes to that, but I don't think it's going to be a perfect replacement for all those things. So FODMAPE has some overlap with Holozyme, but not a complete overlap. Similase and Holozyme are a pretty good replacement, and there is holmic and fulvic acids inside of Holozyme. And a slight amount about kelp, but 2 milligrams is probably not similar 1-to-1.
Okay. Let's see. Go figure. Hang in there, Davey. What about a water fast for gut health?
I mean, it's not a bad tool, but again, it's like an elimination diet or a elemental diet. Like, they're great little tools. They're great cleanses. They're great resets, and they can cause a shift in the microbiome and a killing of bad bugs. But you still have to integrate that experience. Otherwise, the conditions in which you grew that infection or that intolerance are still the same at the end of the cleanse. And I think that's what people are not thinking about, is that before the cleanse, you were one way, you did the cleanse, you affected things in a good way. But if you just adopt what was happening before, after the cleanse, don't expect anything to change.
Right. Right. Okay. I got that. We have, okay. If you're taking magnesium oxide, would that add too much oxygen to the gut?
I have yet for any of those companies that sell you ozonated magnesiums, I have yet to see them produce any papers or any actual science that suggests it's introducing oxygen to your gut. I don't think your magnesium oxide, if you use that for constipation or some other reason, I don't think that's going to be anything to really worry about when it comes to oxygenation levels. The only way you can really know is just to stop, though.
Katie's saying, I've been doing a restrictive diet, which has been based off of food sensitivity testing since April. We're in September now. Okay. As I'm trying to heal SIBO. Okay. Are you also doing a different protocol, not just the restrictive dieting, Katie? And then I've been, because remember, that's only going to control your symptoms. I've been trying to reincorporate foods back into my diet that I came up sensitive to. However, I noticed that I get a lot of stomach pain trying to reincorporate these foods back into the diet. Is it normal to feel stomach pain upon reincorporating foods back into the diet?
So I love this question, Katie. I'm so glad you asked it. This is really what this talk is for. It's for people like you. No, pain upon reintroduction is not normal and not a good thing. I would really ask you to try to get really specific. Do you think it's stomach pain? How would you come up with that term versus gut, small intestine, or large intestine? They are in different body locations. And stomach pain typically is higher up, includes heartburn, gastritis type symptoms versus bloating or pain in the small intestine, because that would help you know, is it an HCL problem, a gastritis problem? Is it a small intestine enzyme/immune system problem? But either way, this is the exact reason why I get fired up and pissed off, is because providers who are not educating people that when they go to reintroduce, it's not like you did anything wrong so far. And it's not like your providers have done anything wrong so far. They got you out of pain, you're healing, but you didn't have the enzymes required pre-testing and pre-removal. Otherwise you wouldn't have had the problems. So if you're not using an enzyme product or another support product to reintroduce, you're not going to be able to reintroduce. That's legitimately what this whole talk is about, is the fact that I feel like we're just missing the whole function that removal does not equal curative or fixing.
Okay. Make sure you're doing a digestive enzyme. So let's break it down. Make sure you're doing a digestive enzyme with your food. Make sure your HCL is proper for you to be able to have the power to digest your food. Make sure that the different layers, the 5, 7, how many layers is it, Stephen?
Five.
That's what I thought. Five different layers of the intestinal lining has support and are healed. So a lot of these symptoms that you guys are talking about, if those three things aren't in place, you're possibly going to have these symptoms ongoing. The digestive enzyme piece is so overlooked across the board because I almost think it's too easy. It's too simple. You know, I don't know what the mental part of it is, but it's so overlooked consistently. And also, how many of us have tried digestive enzymes and they weren't powerful enough or they weren't the right ones? And so then we're like, oh, they don't work. And right. We move on, right? And then we do a different test and da, da, da. So I would definitely try the holozymes, because for people who have said in the past, oh, they don't work for me, I don't like digestive enzymes, they did nothing, which I was in that category. I understand. So, but then you do holozyme and you're like, oh, this is the way it was supposed to be. And then remember those foods that you're talking about creating pain. It could be from visceral hypersensitivity, but it could also be that it's simply gas because it's not being digested properly. So think about something that's fermenting, it produces a gas versus being like truly absorbed into the body and being a building block for nutrition. So right below the diaphragm, I mean, it could be the gas produced from those foods. So just something for you to think about. I know in the bloating is also from that gas. So a lot of you are saying, you know, I look 7 months pregnant, et cetera. That, do you like that whole balloon effect, that distension, that is definitely from the microbes in your gut not being able to absorb and assimilate that nutrition. Instead, it's fermenting it and it's causing the bloating. I hope that helps. So you want to go ahead and look at holozyme, which is, Clarissa can put the chat, the link in the chat again for you. And let's see. we're going to start wrapping up. Go ahead, Stephen. I know you see some of these questions.
Yeah, I just want to say that, like, I think it was Katie's question there is like the question that people should be asking. They should be wondering why, how you should be asking your provider, how is it that I'm going to tolerate more foods? Because corn is not a bad food. Entire civilizations are built around corn and rice. They're not bad foods. They're not necessarily bad for us. If we can't break them down and they cause pain, then they're bad for us. But the question for all providers, all experts, all doctors is, what about the food sensitivity? What about the elimination diet is going to allow me to help break this stuff down in 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, whatever they're telling you? And the answer is, I think, what we've said here today, which is do an HCL challenge. You don't have to use HCL guard. I think it's better than everything else, but it's not the only thing. Do a enzyme test. I think Holozyme's the best in the world. We have a patent, we have studies, but it might not work for you. And then don't just stop with whatever it says on the bottle. Do 2 times, 3 times the dose. Just check to make sure you're not somebody who needs more support than you think you do with the enzymes. And then lastly, you have to spend some time healing your microbiome, butyrate, and immune system. We make products for that, Tributarin X and Holoimmune, but we're not the only company with a butyrate product. In fact, we've mentioned, I think, almost every other butyrate competitor we have on this call. Try them all if you can. Of course, I have gone through the devil in the details and believe that our products are better than everything else, but that doesn't mean they're going to work for you, which is why we give you your money back if they don't.
That wraps it up right there for me, right there. Let's see. Curious if Stephen has looked at the blood type diet or Carol's food intolerance tests in his research.
The blood type diet is just based on bullshit. There's no science to the blood type diet, but here's the reason why it works, right? If you look at it, I think 3 out of the 4 or 4 out of the 4 blood type diets eliminate gluten. And then several of the blood types eliminate a lot of the other inflammatory foods or highly reactive carbohydrate foods. So it's one of the reasons why it works, is not because it has anything to do with your blood.
There you go. Okay. What about Carol's food intolerance tests?
I don't know what that is.
Okay. Some doctors, including allergists, are concerned that after eliminating food, sensitivity is increased on reintroduction. An allergist refused to do a food sensitivity test on a child with eczema for this reason.
The sensitivity is increased on reintroduction. I mean, I don't know how to answer that other than fire them and find it somebody else who's like more up on the science. Even find someone that goes to like the regular allergy conversations, because that's not an answer for a child. That's a terrible answer for a child.
Yeah, I went to an ear, nose, and throat doctor, and I'm not anti-doctors, by the way. I'm pro-doctors that keep up with the literature, and it's also almost physically and mentally, emotionally, and spiritually impossible to do that. But I had a guy look down my nose and say that I had allergies when I didn't. I never had seasonal allergies. And then I found out my building had mold in it. And I was like, oh, I think it might be mold. He's like, oh, that doesn't exist. Like, oh, that's not a thing. I'm like, okay. What are you going to do? You just need to keep looking to find the right partners that you have so that you can get the support that you need. Good. Well, I'm glad it works for you, Tisha. This is all important that you guys find stuff that works for you. Best way to reintroduce foods after elemental diet. KB, I just want to say to go to SIBOSOS.com and look under masterclasses. We actually have a masterclass coming up with your friends, Debbie and
Roy
Steinbach. Yeah. That's right. And they are elemental diet purists. And I think later this month, we have an elemental diet on the 21st of September, an elemental diet masterclass with them with a Q&A.
So here's another reintroduction tip that is like, you can go to my blog, the Healthy Gut website, reintroducing foods. I guess one devil in the details of food sensitivities is the volume of food that you eat. So the FODMAP diet is essentially lowering, you cannot be FODMAP free. Nobody's really FODMAP free. You're just lowering the amount of total fructans or oleosaccharides or polyols or whatever. So upon reintroduction out of the elimination diet or any other food group that you're trying to reintroduce, go very slow and use the same food over multiple days. So start with like a quarter cup cooked on the first day, and then like double and double each time, because you need enzymes, you need microbiome. There's a whole ecosystem that has to regrow to tolerate these foods, including your immune system. So on day one, if you've been without red meat or broccoli or whatever for a long time, don't eat, even though you might want to, don't eat a ton of it. So go really slow with small portion sizes and eat it consecutively over multiple days so that your body is like slowly building up tolerance. And again, remember, we have the immune system, we have enzymes, we have your microbiome, your nervous system. There's a lot of stuff. You might be nervous the first day. You're like, I haven't had this, I don't want diarrhea. That's right. Normal. That's your nervous system. But if it goes okay at like a quarter cup or an eighth of a cup, then on day two, you have a little less nervous system activation. So really the details matter here. And if you can go slow and repetitive, that's also going to help.
It is a labor of love that you do for yourself, everybody. It is something you deserve to take this time and attention. If it was your child, you would do it. So do it for yourself. Maybe if it was your spouse, if you like them, you would be doing it for them, right? So this is where you have to really work on that self-care. We do have to wrap up. I wanted to say thank you all so much for coming and for investing in yourself, the time and the energy that it takes to show up for these. And I do want to, you know, reward you with that discount if you want to take advantage of it. If you think it's a fit, worth a try, you've got the 60-day money-back guarantee, and that's free shipping in the U.S. He does ship internationally. There is a shipping charge for that because that's just the reality of the situations we're in. And thanks to my team. Thank you to you, Stephen. I so appreciate you coming and working with us so frequently because it really has helped so many people. He does have a phenomenal leaky gut course that just launched, and the reviews have been, as I knew they would be, fantastic. It's a short, compact course, so it's not a huge time commitment, but gives you the essential information. Lots of doctors have been taking it because they realize that they can't keep up with the research, and Stephen has pulled it all together and synthesized it for consumers to digest as well as these practitioners, which is fantastic. So Clarissa has been popping that information up there. We do have the lowest price of anyone offering it. And I just asked him to reopen it for us. So I don't even know if anyone else will have access to it. So Clarissa, if you can put the leaky gut one more time in the chat, I appreciate it. And yeah, just getting started. It's easy to get overwhelmed, BB. Hang in there. Inch by inch, it's a cinch. Play this in the background. We're going to, like a podcast, we're going to send you the replay later on tonight. And Petunia says hello and thank you. There's the Petunia, yeah. Those eyelashes, those eyebrows.
And thanks everyone for coming. And don't take my intensity as you're doing it wrong, or it's just, I only have a limited amount of time to talk with Siobhan and you guys. And I get really excited. And sometimes I do get very angry at the misinformation out there.
It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. That's passion. Carla, the course really does, in all caps, clarify a lot. Excellent, Carla. I'm so glad to hear you say that. I know that it does. And I'm glad that you have found it to be beneficial for you. It's a treasure. That is like a little gem, that class, that course on leaky gut. I think a lot of us have been waiting for that for a really, really long time. And so I'm really glad you did that, Stephen. Thank you. Okay. Yeah,
thanks, everyone.
Yeah. Kayla says, glad you get angry over misinformation. Don't hold back. That's right. Do it. Okay. All right. We'll talk to you later. Thank you. Thank you, Clarissa. Thanks, Stephen. Talk to y'all later. And we'll see you next time. Bye. Bye. Great. Great, Lena. Go on. Go on with your bad self. Okay. Peace out, everyone.